Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I would say that Jacksonville has the hottest pass game going into the playoffs right now. And I think that's why there's such a belief. I think it's the toughest draw that Buffalo could have gotten, candidly. And I've said for a couple weeks now, the run defense doesn't necessarily concern me. It's the, are you going to catch a on-fire pass game as well as the secondaries played? Because elite passing games can get after elite coverage units because the quarterback can make the perfect throw on a consistent basis.
Dan Orlovsky there yesterday with One Bills Live. That's what I was talking about, you know, the whole Orlovsky likes the Bills' pass defense, but yep. It's running into maybe the best pass offense, and a quarterback will always kind of make up for some of the deficiencies. I mean, I know that personally just through college football, Texas playing Washington. Texas did not have bad coverage in that semifinal game against Washington. Michael Penix just kept making perfect throw after perfect throw, and it was exhausting to watch. It happens all the time. If you're a bad team playing a great quarterback, you see that all the time. If you're a great team playing a great quarterback, you see it all the time. It is what it is. It's why quarterbacks are the great equalizers. It's also why you'll probably have more people picking the Bills than you maybe would expect for this game because the quarterback. I heard Cody Alexander, who was Jeremy and Joe's guest this morning, even mention it that, you know, yeah, most of the time the best quarterback does win these matchups. Quarterback play does – it can elevate in the playoffs. We've talked about it. Allen is one of those guys that come playoff time – come big game time usually, because you look at some of the primetime stats he has, he elevates.
And look at, I hearken back to something. So ready? When I say this, the first words are not going to be the ones that I'm going to say here. Think back to Brandon Bean's comments after the draft. Now? No, not those comments. You silly goose. He mentions how the defense has let them down. And how has it been let down, though? How has this team been let down? Because that defense is also facing Patrick Mahomes outside of one other time.
Yeah, they played Joe Burrow. I mean, yeah. Another guy that's...
That day they offensively really just...
Right. Bleh. It's not to give them all excuses because you've got to get your stops. But yeah, no, I get it.
It goes to your point.
Mm-hmm.
The best quarterbacks typically win in these sorts of power matchups.
That's why I'll get the argument, though, to lean into the offense. And I can fully understand that and not completely agree with it.
But what I'm doing is more or less... Mm-hmm. Adding evidence to this, the Bills, almost unequivocally, in this era, have lost to the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And he has, like Allen, stepped his game up when those games have been up.
Oh, yeah.
They are classics. They are classics that a neutral fan goes, dang, it's a shame that the Bills lost. Because that was fun. Here, we're like, I'm in hell.
Yeah, right. Like, just
we have different comments.
Yeah.
We have different comments. Some of them FCC not safe.
right.
But the point is, this is where the Bills have something on everybody else in the field. And it's not something we're used to. Is it enough? Because this offense and how it has been called this year has had a tendency to even hold that back. I will believe and sing an entirely different tune about the offensive coordinator if all of a sudden they're more aggro with the pass game and attacking the middle, the intermediate, which they do not do anymore as often unless Dalton Kincaid's in the lineup.
Right, because even Knox, when they use him, he is used it kind of on the boundaries. He's very rarely up the middle of the field, up the seams, what have you. This is where, though, you bring up boundary receivers and why I've mentioned the last 2 weeks or so. Brandon Cooks' emergence. He did not play a snap. He did not dress.
And this is a quarterback that loves to unleash that.
Right, and you've seen it, though.
Even ill-advised.
Right, but you've seen it, and I do bring it up, though, because I think it shows how much the Bills believe in Brandon Cooks going forward. He has the drops early, but against Philadelphia, you kind of got to see the whole thing. They don't score a lot of points, and that's why, for me, I'm almost uncomfortable bringing it up. But I liked what I saw. The fact that, okay, Kincaid's not even on the field, and we're taking these go ball shots, and he's open against maybe the most talented secondary in the sport. That has been the Eagles' calling card this year, is their defense. Jacksonville could arguably be the same thing. And if I'm seeing Brandon Cooks getting open against Philadelphia, I'm excited to see what can happen against Jacksonville when now you do add in Dalton Kincaid, who's been able to, in a sense, kind of rest up and prepare sort of for this playoff run. He plays only, what, about a quarter and a half against the Jets, and he looks exactly how you'd want him to look. James Cook has been healthy all year. It's been wonderful for the Bills. The offensive line is healthy. And you're right to bring up Brady, too, because if we get more of that, that's where I could see this Bills team surprising the hell out of Jacksonville. Because I've made mention, too, like teams now do have to look at Cooks' tape a little bit more. I'm like, okay, like they're starting to do that. That's a thing that we haven't seen all year. Is that just because it's Cooks and this is the matchup, what have you? Or is this actually something that they are discovering? And now we've got to take everything into context again. We have to now go back and do our homework. And this is where you can get a team who has not been in this situation before, at least a coaching staff that has not been in this situation before, get them all basically just screwed up. I mean, that's how it is. You are now the elder statesman outside of Mike Tomlin with the Steelers, but we all kind of know how we feel about that.
You're a good elder statesman.
You're the elder statesman. You're the ones that have been here in the wild card round, because Sean Payton absolutely does count in this. But in terms of the wild card round, you're the team that's been here and done this. You have all of the scar tissue. You also have some of the iconic wins. You've made two AFC championships in 5 years. Jacksonville is very much the new kid on the block. And while I have mentioned it's not really just yours to take because Mahomes, Lamar, and Burrow are not there, there is also something too, though, for on the Jacksonville side of things, of you do have to somewhat earn your bones. You don't just get to show up and boom, here we go. It does not happen like that all the time, often.
Unless it does.
And greatest show on turf is kind of one of those teams I think of they just showed up, won a Super Bowl, and here they are.
But the Buffalo Bills have something to say about this now, as the elder statesman. And really, you look at the whole playoff field, Pittsburgh doesn't count. They're not real. And they're not a threat. It's Buffalo and really Houston. They're your teams that have been here more consistently as of late. Like I said, Pittsburgh doesn't count, but also Houston, one of those two teams is going to knock each other out. So your elder statesman, maybe one of them gets through.
Maybe, yeah.
Two, if the Bills win. One guaranteed, maybe two. We're done after that. All of a sudden, it is fresh blood, at least for half of the remaining playoff field. In terms of teams that have not had this long stretch of success. End of list. I do wonder how it's going to be this year, because if the Bills are eliminated, that means that only one team that's been more consistent than others remains. And it is, you show up and you have instant success.
And man, like that's even partially true in the NFC. Like if San Francisco beats Philadelphia, it's the 49ers and the Rams then that have kind of been there and done that for a little while.
Yeah, Seattle's
the one seed. They haven't really been that relevant.
They've been painfully eliminated actually through the last several seasons by missing by like half a game or like they have the same record and it's point differential.
The Bears are totally new.
Bears are new kids on the block. Packers are.
And even the Packers, I mean, they do have that 7-2 win against Dallas, but that's a few years ago now.
It's a few years ago, but also they haven't gone much further with this iteration.
Yeah, this is where this could really be a changing of the guard kind of season. Like we could look back at this year 4 or 5 years from now and be like, oh, this is when Jacksonville and Denver and New England sort of announced themselves. Now they're the cream of the crop. They're the class of the conference, and you do have teams like Buffalo, like Kansas City, like Baltimore trying to get back, and they sort of lose that luster they've had. Or it could just be it really was the Bills' best chance, and they nailed it. There's also a middle ground in there. It's not just black and
history
white.
History could also show, like, oh, this was a flash in the pan, stupid year.
Right, and you know, Chiefs are back next year. The Bills take back the AFC East. You know, Denver.
Baltimore finds a new coach and gets right back into it.
Yeah.
Like, that, I definitely don't want that. If there's going to be changes, let there be changes.
Keep it interesting. 803-0550, the number two call. We go back to the phones. Mike is up first this segment. Mike, how we doing?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
my biggest concern this weekend is Joe Brady and the Bills' short yardage offense in scoring territory. We saw it in the Houston game where twice we had opportunities, third and two, both times, once to win, in a position to win the game, once earlier in the fourth quarter. Same thing happened last two weekends ago against the Eagles. You know, we have the third and goal from the two-yard line, and everybody in the place knows that we've got a running back who's going to run up the middle, and he gets stuffed, and then we get stuffed, and we lose that game because of the same short yardage, plays. It's just, the third and one that he decides to throw the wide receiver screen pass through in the pouring rain through Shakir's hands instead of just tush-pushing it. It just seems to me that he's gotten too cute. And if I've got third and two and I'm in the red zone, I'm tush-pushing Josh two straight times because he's going to get 2 yards. He gets 2 yards almost every time he does it. So just seems to me that's my biggest concern because we've lost at least two games specifically because of our...
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
...ability to make third and two and fourth and one in the scoring zone.
Mike, thanks for the call. I get that point. I mean, they have lost some of these games. And you can even go back to last year's playoffs. I mean, that's where the Chief game is sort of defined by those short yardage situations not getting first downs. Maybe it's due to the spot. We're not going to have that conversation today. But
we don't have time for that.
You can go to that game even and look at the short yardage situations.
What I can also go to, and there's been more of this evidence this year, is the predictability of play call.
The screen pass, we all know.
Joe Brady has not, despite the Bills' numbers, he's not had what I would call a good year.
No, I think there's a big reason why you're not hearing his name being brought up at all in any of these head coaching openings yet.
Yeah, and there's an opportunity here. Like I said, I want to see what Joe Brady is going to do here. Because when the Bills have lost, it is the offense that falters. It is their inability to remain consistent that plagues them. And sometimes it has to do with the fact that, yeah, the players are the ones on the field. You can only call the plays. But sometimes those plays are getting blown up and a player does not have a chance. How many times have we seen a screen pass, against Philadelphia in particular, where they diagnosed it immediately? There's a clip of Jalen Carter saying they're running the same play.
Yeah.
Like, I need better from the offensive coordinator this week and this month.
There is also that level of frustration, though, and this is where it has been with the Bills all year. And this is even true of the Ken Dorsey years, year and a half, where some of the stats, though, just simply do not point to it. The Bills on fourth down and third down conversions are very high in terms of the rest of the league. But it's the same with Ken Dorsey where, well, you know, they're still putting up 25 to 28 points per game. Like, are you really that worried? It's become one of those things. No, but when you watch the game, though, you mentioned it.
Context.
Yeah, it's the context. It's the same screenplay over and over and over again, or the run play, really, where when it works, like Pittsburgh, it's funny.
It's cute against Pittsburgh or Dallas a couple years back.
Like, you can laugh at it, and you're like, yeah, I just couldn't stop you. But when you start doing it, and like you mentioned, Jalen Carter's just going, it's the same play, and we stopped them. And you know, I'm talking about that game going, I think there were some bright spots, the passing game. It's also a strong reason why they didn't score much, even with all that stuff. It is the short yardage situations where they're able to at least somewhat get down there and they just can't finish. And that even includes the kicker, by the way, too, missing extra points and such. That's why they go for a two-point conversion. But then there's also the ones that fail where it's perfectly drawn up. Been a number of those plays to Brandon Cooks that I wish we could give Joe Brady more credit for. But they're dropped. But they're perfectly called play-action passes where he's open. Or the two-point conversion. It's a perfectly called play. It's perfectly executed. Allen misses the throw.
Yeah.
You know, this is also where it does come down to some of these guys do have to execute. It's the same with the tush push as well. We ran into that problem last year. Allen picks the same side every time, and the Chiefs are like, okay,
we know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, we stopped you.
It, and I'm glad you bring up the Allen play against Philadelphia, because like, he has not had the year of his usual standards. And some of it is he's missing plays. Mm-hmm. He is missing some of these plays. And it's okay to say that. But now, guess what? You are the shining beacon of quarterback play or quarterback potential. When you're great, and you're the best to do it in this playoff field. And that's bar none now. With the rest of this playoff field here, you are supposed to be the guy. And it's why the Bills are going to have, like, it's why the Bills are tight on the money line here. It's why the projections have this game being a pick 'em, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bills have the great equalizer. The Jaguars have the better roster, 1,000%. I could say that one without blinking twice. And I can have my eyes just as wide open and saying, but the Bills have the equalizer. The Bills have the thing that nobody else in this AFC playoff field does. A quarterback that can take over and win on his own when needed. There are quarterbacks in this playoff group that can do it. They have the potential. They've seen it. We've seen it from some of them. It's not as foregone of a conclusion, though.
And it hasn't been in these moments. There is a difference between a regular season game and a playoff game.
But I will even try to count the regular season games, because some of them have just yet to play in the playoffs.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Just to give credence to it.
Mm-hmm.
Benefit of the doubt. But Allen has done this and continues to do this. And in some of these games has had to bail the Bills out entirely as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the number to call, 803-0550. We go back to the phones. Cal is up next. Cal, how we doing?
Hey, doing well, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well.
I'm thinking what I'd really like to see happen, and I can see it happening too, is a lot of these experienced quarterbacks are going to – I think they're going to win in the first round. I really do. I think a lot of these guys that haven't been there before, it makes a big difference. I think, you know, all the learning that you'd learn when you lose, I mean, it goes a long way. And I can really see, you know, possibly getting another home game. You know, I really do. I think Herbert and the Chargers can beat May, and I think Pittsburgh can beat Houston, especially with Houston going in the cold weather. And you know what? That last game of the season, man, Chargers didn't play anybody, and they pretty much were in the game most of the game. I think they can beat Denver. I really can see us, you know, getting to the Super Bowl, and then you know, Stafford in the Super Bowl. And I don't know, you guys remember last year when we hit that great game against LA, even though we lost. That would be like the epic Super Bowl, you know, like 7 lead changes and, you know, 45-42 Super Bowl and we win, or, you know, whatever. But I can foresee it. I don't really think it's that big of a grasp. And that's about it, man. I like your show, and you guys keep up the good work, man. Have a good one.
Thanks for the call. I like that point, because we haven't really touched on it too much this week. But we've been talking about it for a few weeks, looking at how the bracket was shaping up. Mm-hmm. We could see all three, at least in the AFC, road teams win.
I've been on this.
Yeah, you've been on it. You've been on it for weeks at this
point. Like, this is exactly the season where this would happen.
Because where we mentioned Elder Statesman, it's more the Bills as a conglomerate, as a full team. But you do mention Sean Payton in Denver. They're on the bye. Jim Harbaugh, though, forget about his brother for a minute. I think Jim Harbaugh is a top three coach in the sport. And wherever he has gone, he has won, and he has won at a high level.
And it is the top-tier coaches that have been here for a little bit that you get to look at and go, okay, this is interesting, because Harbaugh faces off against Vrabel, a guy that I said, you mentioned it, like, oh, he was the one seed with Tennessee. Yeah, that got promptly knocked out after that.
Right, they are sort of the picturesque of the week one seed.
Like, Vrabel might be a little overloved for the accomplishments that he doesn't have yet. He goes up against one of the more successful coaches that there is, quietly. And Jim Harbaugh.
I do think it is quietly. I think a lot of people do not give Jim Harbaugh the credit he is absolutely deserved.
He's also coaching the franchise that God forgot.
Yeah, right. And he did lose to his brother in the Super Bowl. That will not help him.
Well, that doesn't help him, but I'm talking more about the Chargers charging.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's almost a foregone conclusion that they're just going to like find a way to hilariously lose in a first-round playoff game.
I think people forget he made Stanford a very, very, very good football program.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why it's quiet.
Yeah.
Because it's where he is.
Yeah.
And then Sean Payton's in Denver. Mm-hmm. And Sean McDermott is here. Mike Tomlin doesn't count. He got his 10-7 Super Bowl. Here comes their playoff exit. And if not, here comes Buffalo, a team that called the same play 26 times and you couldn't do anything to stop it.
Still the best thing ever. Still the best thing ever.
If the Chargers were to win, the Bills would get that. But that's the point, really, is how do you get to where you are? And it's actually kind of funny when it comes down to it. Pittsburgh, if they were to win, gets either Jacksonville or Buffalo, really, based on how the math would work on that.
Mm-hmm. How glued in are we to Monday night? If Bills beat Jags and Chargers beat New England, how glued in are we to that Monday night game?
I'm still watching Sabres-Panthers.
That's awesome. 803-0550, the number two call. We'll take a quick timeout from the Bills here as, well, Derek did mention the Sabres. They do win 5-3 last night over Vancouver. A little bit closer than you maybe would have liked. They were leading that game at 4-0 in the third. We'll talk to Paul Hamilton, though, on that as the Sabres do not get on a losing streak and they continue their winning ways. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.